You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Home Field Apparel.
Welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of the Assembly Call, as tonight your Indiana Hoosiers hang on against Eastern Michigan 68-62, in a game that, well, it was better than Archie's debut. It was certainly a game that, you know, it looked like Indiana was in firm control when they jumped out 10-0, and there was a little lull in the first half, but they kind of seemed to get things going there at the end of the first half, and then, you know, jumped out again, had a nice run at the start of the second half, but then another lull, and the lull just kind of never ended. As Eastern Michigan started making shots and clawing their way back, at one point, I know it was a 27-12 run by Eastern Michigan, but then down the stretch, Xavier Johnson was able to, you know, make a couple plays. Race Thompson and Trace Jackson Davis connected on a couple of buckets, and ultimately Indiana was able to hang on 68-62. So, you know, there's going to be a lot to nitpick in this game. First time out with a bunch of new players, a new coach. I think we're all probably a little bit disappointed that it wasn't a bigger margin, given how good or not good we expect Eastern Michigan to be. But at the end of the day, the Mike Woodson era begins with a victory. That is the most important thing, and we were able to achieve that. I'm your host, Jared Morris. I'm here with Coach Brian Tonsoni and the coach, Jeff Marlowe. We're going to break it all down for you on this edition of the Assembly Call IU postgame show. And let's start the show the way that we start every show, and that is with our banner moment. And for our banner moment, I'm going to go back to when things looked a little bit better. There kind of early in the second half, around the 14:30 mark, there was a stretch that was just an absolutely incredible sequence by Trace Jackson Davis, Indiana's All-American, who was, of course, their best player tonight. For a brief moment, it looked like Eastern Michigan was going to have a nice wide-open layup off of a nice little back cut, and Trace Jackson Davis came out of nowhere for an excellent block shot, just erased that opportunity for Eastern Michigan. And the momentum of the block shot actually took him under the basket. And so it kind of looked like he would probably be out of the offensive play as Xavier Johnson got the ball and pushed it. But then, once again, out of nowhere, Trace Jackson Davis comes sprinting down. Xavier Johnson sees him, throws an oop. Trace connects on it. My thought as he's in the air connecting on the dunk is simply, oh, don't get hurt, don't get hurt. But he made the play. It was an incredible feat of not just athleticism from Trace Jackson Davis, but hustle. And this is what Indiana was doing when they were playing well tonight, is getting out in transition, running, playing hard, playing with energy. And when you contrast that with what happened for really about the next 12, 13 minutes of this game, it was a stark difference. But that play, that sequence really showed us, I think, kind of what this new Mike Woodson era is going to look like. Guys flying around, playing active, pushing the ball, making plays. We just didn't quite see it enough tonight, but for that sequence, it was really spectacular. A really nice play by Trace, a great find by Xavier Johnson, and it was really the high point because it was kind of all downhill from there in the second half, but that was a terrific play. Okay, our banner moment, as always, brought to you by our friends at Home Field Apparel, now in their fifth season of sponsoring the Assembly Call, and their first as our presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. And in case you missed it, Home Field recently did a brand refresh where they added three new items to bring their extensive IU collection to now more than 40 items. So what did they add? Well, they added a shirt commemorating the 1987 National Championship season, a brand new bison design, and a new oval design as well. So if you're thinking about Christmas shopping for the IU fan in your life, Home Field remains the place to go. And Home Field probably has something for the non-IU fans on your list as well, with more than 100 schools now being represented. So what do you need to do? You need to go to homefieldapparel.com right now, or preferably when you're done listening to the show, and start crossing names off your holiday shopping list. You can use the promo code HOME. That's different from last year. The promo code is HOME, H-O-M-E, to get 15% off your first order. That's promo code HOME at homefieldapparel.com. Wear one for the team. All right, well, it is time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. And let's go over to Coach Tonsoni. It is Tonsoni time. Coach, what's on your mind?
That's a disappointing effort in game one with so much positive vibe coming in. I don't think Indiana executed very well on the offensive end. I thought defensively there were some things, but this team reminds me of the teams of the last three or four years, big lulls, getting a lead, letting the big lead go, hanging your head, no juice, 16% shooting from three, missed free throws down the stretch, not a whole lot of turnovers, but some really bad decisions. So it's one thing to be able to play with confidence, but you have to execute on the backside of that confidence. Or, you know, this team was 297th in the KenPom, Eastern Michigan coming in. There's no excuse to win by two or three or six or whatever we ended up winning by. This is not a good start for the Coach Woodson era. There are some positives, individual positives, some plays that are positive, but this has to be the low point of the Coach Woodson hire to this point. It is just not good basketball right now, and that's just shocking to me. It is first night. I know Ohio State had a close one against Akron. There are games all around the time, but excuses are for losers. This team needs to play better, and it needs to play better immediately if this team's going to make the tournament.
Come on, dude. Dude, even Ryan thinks that's a little harsh after a victory. Just kidding, coach. I actually think that you're right on everything you said. All right, let's go over and get thoughts from the other coach, Coach Marlowe, also the host of the Grace Berger Show, and doing a fine job of it, I might add. Coach Marlowe, your thoughts on this opening night effort from Indiana?
Well, thanks for that, Jared. I appreciate it. I'm going to take a little bit more of first half I liked. Second half was really ugly. I would totally agree with Coach. It seemed we got really stagnant when Race picked up that fourth foul. And after that, we didn't really seem to have a lot. Yeah, there were a lot of things we can look at, and we can say that they weren't playing very well at times. But I thought the pace was better in the first half, especially the first 5-8 minutes. I liked the fact that Coach Woodson was sticking with guys a little bit longer. We didn't see immediate subs at the first media timeout. So I'm going to take a more positive approach of, hey, you know, he told us defense was ahead of offense, and the defense was got a little trouble in the second half. But I'm going to take some. I'm going to think positive. You usually see your best improvement, at least what we always used to think, was that your best improvements between game one and game two. So I'm looking forward to Friday night now. But yeah, the thing that bothers me is the 3-point shooting. I like the fact that we were shooting it, but like Coach said, can't shoot 16-17% and win a lot of games that way.
Yeah, look, I mean, Coach, I think the points that you made there early, so many of them are spot on. You know, because we saw, when this team was really cooking, you know, they jumped out on Eastern Michigan. And there's a big difference in athleticism between the two teams. There's a big difference in talent. And, you know, Coach Woodson did say the defense is ahead of the offense. It's a new system. You've got a lot of new players. But I agree with you that the disappointment in watching the second half, I think we'll all give them time to fix the execution and some of that stuff. But it was just the energy that they played with. Like, it really kind of felt like they just kind of assumed, okay, we're up by 20. This game is over. We're going to cruise the rest of the way. And I give Eastern Michigan a lot of credit. You know, they were shooting terribly, and they just stuck with it. And they, you know, the guard Farrakhan, he started making shots, and they put it to us to say, hey, are you going to put us away or not? And we didn't. And so, you know, I think if you look at, okay, so what can you maybe take as a positive from that? It's that hopefully this is going to be a good coaching point for Mike Woodson to come in and say, look, I know this is how things went here for the last few years, and that's great that we got the victory, but this kind of playing without energy and doing the kinds of things we've talked about doing, we can't have this. You know, and you saw him get visibly upset a couple of times. You know, one, I know in the first half, he, you know, chewed out Jordan Geronimo, and, you know, so we saw some of that, but I agree. We were all going to allow for some growing pains, but you don't want to see it come like that.
Yeah, it comes down to shot making, which has been our issue for a long time. I actually think Coach Woodson did a good job on a bench. He went to a power set at the 10-minute of the second half when things started to get tight, trying to get the ball inside because there were some bad shots making, quick, bad threes. Then he went to a little flex action at the 7:30 mark, again, to try to get the team to calm down and get to the foul line and get some things done. So, yeah, I think he saw it slipping away, and he tried to do some things. But we have got to be better offensively in our decision-making to match what we did defensively for most of – you know, guys are going to make shots. We held that team to, what, 60-some points. Teams are going to hit shots on you. That kid was guarded and hit shots. But that's why you put them away. That's why when you're up 21, you go to 30. And again, it is the first game, and there are issues there. But again, it's about the style, not the style, but how they played. I like the pace. I like being able to shoot the three ball. It is a lot more fun. I'm seeing comments in here. It is a lot more fun, but you can't hide behind effort and pace and be happy if the result isn't good. And my only complaint is this was a bad basketball game for Indiana to start out. It doesn't mean it's going to be a horrible team or Coach Woodson can't coach or the players can't play, but I'm not going to come on here and say, oh, it's great, we got to win when it's a 297th team. We got to play better. And a lot of teams will play bad their first game. But a week from tomorrow, we play a St. John's team that's going to come in and be a lot better than Eastern Michigan. That gives us 7 days and a game to get it righted. And, the coaches are going to watch film and correct it. But, man, it just brought back a lot of demons from is this just where we're at? And I know that's ridiculous because it's only one game. But that's not what we saw in the Bahamas, and it's not kind of what we saw at Belmont. And so maybe it was a crowd, maybe it was some other things, but regardless, it just has to be better.
Yeah, and obviously, one of the areas that people are going to look at is shooting. And Indiana's shooting tonight was abysmal. The Hoosiers are 4 for 24 from the three-point line, 12 of 20 from the free throw line. One thing that we spent a lot of time doing during the transition from Tom Crean to Archie Miller, perhaps too much time doing, was talking about how difficult this transition was going to be. And you're going from playing one style to another, and let's be patient, because we're trying to play this new style and all that stuff. And I think one thing that we can learn to be better is, those excuses probably need to go away a little bit quicker. But here's what I will say. One of the things that I saw tonight was some guys, especially some holdover guys, Rob Phinisee being one, who didn't seem fully comfortable in their new you've got a green light to shoot type role. And I thought it led to some poor decisions, some questionable decisions when it came to shot selection. Now, I like that it looks like guys are freer. Early in the game, we had a transition opportunity and Miller Kopp just like pulled up off balance, looked like he was going to fall forward. He pulled up so quickly for three. And so maybe some of those, we don't want to take all of those, but I like that the guys looked a little bit freer to shoot, but it may take guys a little bit of time to get comfortable doing that, Coach Marlowe. I point out Rob Phinisee. I thought, his game was really interesting. He scored 7 points in the first half, didn't score in the second half, but was really looking for a shot. He took 11 shots tonight, which was second only to Trace Jackson Davis. He was 1 of 5 from three. And while I think we're all excited about that because you want to see Rob shoot more, and typically we're telling him shoot more, I really thought at least three or four of those were probably forced. And so again, it just kind of seemed like a guy who's trying to get comfortable with what his new role is going to be and kind of some of this new freedom that he's got. And so that's as we look, to the future and some of these upcoming games, that's what I want to see is if some of those decisions feel a little bit more in the rhythm of what they're doing, as opposed to just, I'm open, I can shoot it now.
Yeah, I thought that was one thing that I really thought in the first half. I thought Rob played well. I thought Parker played well. And Miller may not have gotten as many shots off. But I really thought the way they played in the first half from that standpoint. But I felt like Parker and to a certain degree, I thought Rob kind of disappeared in the second half. I know he got 11 shots, but 7 of those 11 were in the first half. And so there were times, as it's been pointed out in the chat, we still need to make sure we get Trace touches. And there's times where we go a long time without getting Trace a touch. And so that was something I was a little bit concerned about in the second half as well. We had 6 turnovers in the first half, only 2 in the second. So we were playing better, but or at least taking care of the ball better. But I'm with you, Jared. I like the pace that first half, but I think some guys are still getting used to their role.
Yeah, which is natural, again, with a new coach and a new system. So I think it's fair to point out, but, we want to be patient and allow some of those things to develop, which is also why I think it's really good the way they set up this schedule so that, if we're going to have some of these struggles, at least we're having them against a team like Eastern Michigan and we can get a victory out of it. Because goodness knows we need to rack up victories to put ourselves in position to get back to the NCAA tournament. Coach, let's talk real quick about Race Thompson, who I thought did a lot of good things tonight. The scoring numbers obviously don't jump off the page. He had 5 points, but 10 rebounds, had three assists, a couple of really nice passes to Trayce Jackson-Davis, had some blocks, a steal. You know, he really, I thought, especially early, was really setting the tone defensively. You know, and you saw him in, you know, perfect help side positions and just really kind of having one of those games where it wasn't always stuff that showed up on the stat sheet, but I thought he was overall really effective. And then down there toward the end, when things got kind of close, it was Race Thompson who was able to, you know, find a way to score off a pass from Trayce Jackson-Davis. And Race Thompson, who, you know, saves a possession after a missed free throw. You know, even though we didn't score on that possession, he was doing some of those little things, those glue guy type things that you need and that you'd really like seeing from a senior.
Race was fantastic. Race was doing Race things, and that's fun to watch. You know, his contests of shots, his rebounding. How about his alley-oop pass on the diagonal back screen to Trayce Jackson-Davis for that dunk? And I just thought his nice little jump hook, a bank shot, was solid. And I think, you know, then he hit a big free throw. I'd like to have him hit both of those. But man, Race did what Race needed to do tonight to help Indiana come out with the victory, and as we just come to expect it. I mean, he's a glue guy. He's a, you know, just a workhorse on both ends of the floor. So he obviously TJD's best player. You know, double double, all that stuff. But Race probably overall was the second best player for his entire contributions. And he's just fun to watch because he does all those, just those real tough guy things that Indiana needs. And that'll help Indiana win a lot of games.
And if you're wondering, yes, Ryan did take a text victory lap as Race was playing well to remind us that he called him the Draymond Green of this team. But of course we couldn't argue, nor would we want to, because Race was really good. The other guy I want to talk about here in segment one, Coach Marlo, come to you first with this. You know, Trayce, I think, Coach, you said it right. You know, Trayce is the best player. He's the All-American. Race is probably next, and that glue guy and the guy that does all the dirty work. I would say the most interesting player tonight, and maybe the most interesting player most nights, is Xavier Johnson. And I say interesting because he is a roller coaster of a player. You know, there's going to be some ups and downs. I thought, you know, if you want to know, you know, what's the high point for Xavier Johnson, he's a guy who can get into the lane pretty much anytime he wants to. Now, we'll have to see him do it against higher level competition, but we haven't had that really since Yogi Ferrell, a guy who can get into the lane and do some good stuff when he gets in there. You also have a guy who can go coast to coast, and at the end of the game, when you're nursing a 2-point lead and you need to get a bucket, he'll just take it and go and get you a bucket. And again, we haven't had someone. Al Durham would do that occasionally, but not with, I think, the consistency that Xavier Johnson is going to do it with. On the flip side, you know, you saw early, he had two timeouts or two turnovers before the first media timeout, had some defensive lapses. He certainly is a guy who's going to sell contact in a way that's going to annoy some Indiana fans, I think. And, you know, he's got a shot. He made one of his threes, you know, but he clearly has a shot that's just going to be kind of inconsistent. So he was up and down. I think, you know, that's kind of who he's been in his career. But you saw a lot of the good. You saw a lot of the bad. But I think ultimately having a guy like him who can push the pace and constantly put pressure on the defense is going to make him very much a net positive for this team. I just think you're going to have to take some of the bad, some of the questionable decisions to get some of the good stuff. And we saw a lot of that on display tonight.
Yeah, I thought that Xavier, that last play you mentioned, I was kind of going to come back to that maybe a little bit later. I was just absolutely shocked that Eastern Michigan didn't try to extend the game there and foul. And then when they let him just drive to the hoop and get a layup. And I saw a couple of people in the Discord chat, in the game chat on the Discord, where they were kind of like, gutsy play. But I felt that was just a good, solid basketball play. The lane was there. He took it. The worst thing, in my opinion, that was going to happen is he's going to get fouled. And obviously he finished with the rim. And that was one of the things we'd heard all season, or the offseason, was finished as well at the rim. And we saw that tonight. I think we saw some glimpses of that. His shot is going to be something where we're just going to kind of talk about throughout the season. It's just not a very good looking shot. It's awkward, but I liked the other part. I liked he picks up full court, three quarter court. He's putting some pressure on the other team, you know, as much as possible. And I thought he got a bum call. Maybe people will disagree with me, but I didn't think he fouled the kid on the 3-point shot. I thought that was more of a leg kick that should have just been a play on or, you know, whatever. But I think Xavier's going to be one of those guys that we talk about a lot throughout the season. Some good, some bad.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get talked about because when he's on the court, the ball is going to be in his hands. He is going to make things happen, good or bad, when he's on the court, Coach Tonsoni.
Yeah, I thought his second half was a lot better than the first half. I think he was, you know, you talk about the first game jitters and playing in front of Assembly Hall and wanting to make a mark for yourself. I think he had an assist on a three early, and then he had three turnovers in a row. And Coach Woodson sat him and played Rob quite a bit in that first half, and rightfully so. And then I thought Xavier came back in the second half, and he got some buckets at the rim, that one you guys were talking about, but he had another half-court drive in there. But he's got to be tighter when he turns the corner on those handoffs, top, middle handoffs, and ball screens, and he turns the corner. He's either got to go in to score, or if he draws help, he's got to be, you know, Tony talked about playing off 2 feet. I don't think he played off 2 feet very much, and he was leaving the ground, and the passes got deflected. And that was his problem at Pittsburgh, that he had great assist numbers, but he also had a high number of turnovers. And so the Pitt fans talk about the Xavier Johnson experience, and we got a little bit of it today. I think the kid's a winner. I think he's a competitor. He's gonna listen. He wouldn't be here at Indiana if he didn't have a good relationship with the coaches. So he's going to get in film, and he's going to get his butt chewed on quite a bit of things that he did. And I think Coach Woodson pulled him in the second half after he took a three that I thought Trace needed to touch the ball. And both Rob and Xavier took quick threes as the game was, condensing there, that maybe they shouldn't have. And that's we'll need to talk about that later, too. When you are encouraged all offseason to shoot, and then the game flow comes, and then you go to flex, which is a little more, then you get in that, oh, my gosh, we can lose mode. And I'm not blaming Coach Woodson. It was the right thing to do, but players sometimes put on the brakes, and they lose that freedom a little bit. But I thought X finished the game pretty solid after a rough first start, but he can't have those three turnovers in the first 4 minutes against quality opponents. That's just not good point guard play. And our point guards took 20 shots, and our two supposed best three-point shooters that start only got 10 total shots in the game. So that's something the coaching staff will try to figure out is, Parker Stewart hits his first two, and he barely touches the ball in the second half. So some things like that have to get fixed.
Is there a train going on somewhere?
Yeah, that's me. That's me. I live near the railroad. I live near the tracks. Hey, but somebody mentioned the other day it was like the hype train. But I will agree, Coach. I think that one of the things that you mentioned, and I realize it's not the best we wanted to play. There were a lot of things that got to get fixed. But to me, that's the biggest thing coming out tonight. Coach Woodson finally has a game film that he can show guys where the other team, and I know they scrimmaged Belmont, but to me, it's not the same. You don't know exactly what they were working on. Were they trying to play some different combinations, things like that? But he's got some game film now that he can put in front of them and really, as you mentioned, chew some guys out, critique it, say, hey, we got to get better at this. And let's remember, and I made the comment of this in the Discord, it's a marathon of a season. I want to win as many as possible, but it's also – I don't want to get, too deep into the situation where it's like, oh, my goodness, we're never going to win games, or we're going to be in the, bottom four of the Big Ten type thing. I think Coach Woodson and this staff will make some of those corrections. It's just going to be a game-by-game progress thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, the upside for a game like tonight against a team like Eastern Michigan is if you can go out there and win by 40, 50 points, you win going away, everybody gets time. We can come on here, have a nice, relaxing post-game show, and kind of dream that things are already drastically different. And what happened was a little bit of a splash in the face with cold water of reality that this wasn't a very good team last year. This hasn't been a very good team for the last 3 or 4 years. And just having Mike Woodson and just having an injection of some new players doesn't automatically make us the 2013 team that would have beaten this team by 50 points. There's still a lot of work to be done. My parents are over. My dad was watching the game. Second half, he just kind of mutters to himself, well, you can change the coach, but you can't change the shooters. I was like, well, yeah, that's kind of right. And so this game, I think, we won and we're all happy about that. We're disappointed that it's not more. And I think part of that disappointment is we wanted it to feel a little bit different. And for brief moments, it did. You know, you could see the pushing it and guys taking more shots. And like, you could see the kernels of change there and what it's kind of supposed to look like. But too much of it still felt too familiar. And I think that's the main kind of taste of disappointment that a lot of us will walk away from this game from. But it's just one game and they get to go again on Friday. And hopefully we'll see some of those things be corrected. Okay,
so the tone real quick of my disappointment. The style is great. Running, shooting, driving the basketball, closing out, the backside closeouts were really good. But you're going to need guys to make shots if you're going to run that. Or this is going to be a lot of losses if they keep shooting this way and you're shooting quick in the shot clock and you're starting to understand why things were run a little bit differently, because your bread is buttered in the post. And if we're going to shoot 16%, we can't shoot all these threes. But if you want to run the style, you got to shoot them. So hopefully they go in. And if they go in, it's going to be a lot more fun in these post game. So the style is much more enjoyable to watch other than the missed shots.
I mean, Coach, we've been talking about this. We knew that Indiana was going to take more three-pointers, and they did. Indiana shot 24, and I'm fine with that. You're going to have a bad shooting night. This will almost surely go down as one of, if not our worst shooting nights of the season. You know, I mean, God willing, because if we have to endure too many more, it's not going to be good. But we knew Indiana was going to take more. But my biggest nagging question as the offseason waned and I looked at the numbers is like, man, Armand and Al hit a lot of threes at a high percentage. And yeah, we have Parker Stewart, but you didn't have obvious guys to step in and replace their percentage for a team that shot 32%. So this thought that we were just automatically going to become a 36, 37, 38% three-point shooting team, to me, it was crazy. I still think, not crazy, but unrealistic. I still think we're going to be a 32, 33% shooting team. We'll just shoot more of them. And so I think be a little bit more efficient in how we use it and use it to space the floor more. Because one thing that you did see is Trace did have some space, you know, because Race was out past the three-point line. And so Race missed a couple of the three-pointers that he took, but at least him being out there pulled, you know, the defense away a little bit. And that, you know, gave him some more space. So look, we're going to have to see how this develops. We're all disappointed with the shooting. But I think we probably need to steel ourselves for this team still being pretty frustrating from downtown, unless we have some guys that step up and really hit better than what their historical numbers suggest that they will. Okay, let's move on now to segment two as we continue our breakdown of Indiana's closer-than-hoped victory over Eastern Michigan. I'll point out tonight's meaningful moment you might have missed, then we'll go inside the numbers to highlight the most important statistical notes from the game. You're listening to the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hi, it's Thomas Bryant. What's the only thing better than being Kentucky in the NCAA tournament? Celebrating it with friends afterwards. Join Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosiers.
There's a guy who could make some outside shots. The great Thomas Bryant. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Jared Morris here with Coach Brian Tonsoni and the coach Jeff Marlowe. We are breaking down Indiana's 68-62 opening night victory over Eastern Michigan. And guys, it is time now for tonight's meaningful moment that you might have missed. Meaningful moments that you might have missed. So there are a couple that I want to talk about from the first half. The first one is one that certainly nobody missed, but folks may have forgotten about. And that is Jordan Geronimo's scrape your knuckles on the moon alley-oop. I don't remember who threw the pass, but it was Trace or Ray. Someone threw it to him. And, I mean, it looked like it was going to sail out of bounds. And Jordan Geronimo somehow just kept elevating. It was – I don't like the OG Anunoby comparisons with Jordan because he's got a long ways to go. But it was an OG moment, and that he just kept rising, just kept going up and got the ball. And I saw Freddie McSwain retweeted a highlight of it, you know, with kind of like a surprise face. And it's like, man, if you do something on a basketball court from an athletic standpoint that impresses Freddie McSwain Jr., you've really achieved something. But coach, you know, the moment that really stood out, and it's about a guy, you know, that we haven't talked about a lot tonight, which is Parker Stewart. You know, when he stepped up early, knocked down his first 2 3-point shots, really looked good shooting it, you know, and looked like he was on his way to a big scoring night. He didn't score again. You know, he just made those 2 3-pointers. And that's something that we can certainly talk about because I think he's a guy that needs to get good shots, you know, as good as his shot looks. But, you know, the big question for Parker, I think, you know, that's going to determine how much he plays is defensively. You know, and we know he's a good shooter. He's not a great athlete, you know, struggles laterally. And there was a play early when Indiana's defense was really locked in, you know, first possession of the game, they get a shot clock violation. I mean, they were really playing good defense. And, you know, an Eastern Michigan player had it out on the left wing. You know, he had a quick first step, tried to drive into the middle on Parker. And I thought Parker did an excellent job of turning his body, staying, you know, mostly in front of the guy, not letting him get into the lane, and deterred the guy just enough so he could get the help defense from Race. Race came over, and I think they forced a turnover or a bad pass. And that, to me, is something it was really good to see from Parker. Now, I don't, you know, he's going to have to guard guys better and more athletic than what we saw from Eastern Michigan. But if he can just do that on the wing, not get beat off the dribble, keep guys in front of him, that's going to be really, really important. And I think is going to help keep him on the court more. So I was really encouraged to see that. And hopefully that's something as the season goes on that we see from him defensively.
Yeah, I tell you, I was your first comment, Geronimo. I was really impressed with Geronimo. I think he's going to end up getting more minutes and more minutes and more minutes. You just can't teach that athleticism, his ability to rebound, his ability to, you know, he's got two dunks. I think the over under was what, 15 on the year, and he's got two in game.
Jay, you set
already.
That one too low, man.
You know, he was a positive. And I think, you know, Parker Stewart, we kind of lost him for whatever reasons, and I'm not going to blame him or, you know, get personal with any of that, but we can't lose a kid that can score 15 points. He comes out and bangs 2 threes. And then I think he took his 4 threes in the first 6 or 7 minutes and then didn't get another three. There has to be maybe some sets run for him. Coaches will make that decision. Or, again, you talk to your players getting on film, as Coach Marlowe said, and you go find him. But the concern going in was, can Parker guard? And he's always going to struggle a little bit because he's not the most athletic of basketball players. But I thought he was okay tonight defensively. I thought he battled on that one play you were mentioning. He beat a guy, and all you got to do is, you know, slide one slide and then turn and run and have a contested two. The athletes with the ball these days, you're not going to be in a defensive slide like and do a W drill like we used to do and shut people off by lifting your foot, pushing the old defensive slide drills. That's over. It is get a gap, take one big step one direction, and then you got to turn and kind of hip the guy and get your high hands and hope that you disrupt the pass, make him throw a ball instead of a strike. Those kinds of things, or take a bad shot. And I thought Parker Stewart did that. I saw some clips of the Bahamas and Belmont where he struggled. And so that's going to be a work in progress for him too. But if he can guard, then we got to find him offensively. I was happy with those two guys that you just mentioned. I thought they did well given the opportunities they had.
Coach Marlowe, any moments stand out to you that we haven't had a chance to discuss yet tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to come with two, Jared, actually, and they kind of were pretty similar. This, I think it was coming right out of it was officially the under 12 timeout, I believe, in the first half. But we went to Scoop had his first bucket, I believe it was. and then Rob followed with a jumper, and then Scoop on the next possession had a driving layup with, you know, the left hand. And so I thought that three possession segment went pretty well. I really like, and I wish we'd seen more of that. And then about the 7:30 mark, I made the notes. We had a situation where we moved the ball. It was like three passes, but we moved the ball around from one side of the floor to the other and swung it to Rob, and he had a wide open three, which I think was his only three of the night. And so those two, that to me is where the offense is. Now, we coach is going to nitpick it. And I'm not talking about Coach Hassan. I'm talking about Coach Whitson. They're going to nitpick some of the things. But I think as a coach, I always like to show positive things to the kids too. And that's one thing I'm going to be like, that's the way the offense should look, and then knock down the shot. We, you know, because if that's the case. So I thought those were a couple moments that I really wanted to point to. And then just kind of talking about Tamar, and you've been, you know, the episodes with Tamar on the Inside Scoop were just fantastic, but it just really surprised me. I had not had a chance to see the Bahamas films or the Belmont film, just how long he is. I think on that driving layup, somebody made the comment in the Discord chat that he covered about 20 feet and two steps and one dribble. And just really, his upside is huge.
It is huge. And, you know, so you pointed out, you know, those moments from him in the first half. And I thought he played really well in the first half when he was in there. He was active. He looked for a shot, you know, but he's a freshman. And I thought we saw him play like a freshman in the second half. I thought he forced a shot. It forced a couple shots, actually. And then on one of them, kind of compounded it by going down and reaching on defense and letting his man get by him. So it was, you know, Coach Donsoni, a mixed bag for Tamar. But yes, you watch him out there, and he looks like a different kind of athlete. You know, same with Jordan Geronimo. You know, and that's why I think, you know, one thing that has me excited about the long-term potential for this team. I've always thought that I never really thought it was going to be smooth sailing here early. I think we're going to win a lot of these games, but there's going to be some ups and downs. But one of the things I really like about this team, and I think we saw it some tonight, is you look at the guys that are coming off the bench. And I mean, two of our three best athletes and two of the guys with the highest ceiling and maybe pro potential are coming off the bench, and Jordan Geronimo and Tamar Bates. And so if they, and that's probably fair right now, given where they are, given where the other guys are, but if they progress as their talent and their athleticism suggests that they can, boy, you know, they could really give huge boosts come Big Ten play, which is what I expect. And I think you saw enough from those guys tonight to believe that that's very much in play.
Yeah. Tamar's, in order for us to reach our potential, Tamar's got to advance as fast as he can to get more minutes. I think the only reason that Tamar doesn't get major minutes is he's learning how to play defense at this level. He had a few false hustle plays, you know, running past a guy on a three and then circling back and reaching. But those are to be expected because you probably don't have to guard as hard in your high school games as you do in college, even against a team, you know. You got a bad team like Eastern Michigan. They still are basketball players, Division I transfers, and you find a lot of speed at these kind of levels too, because they use that speed. And maybe they have more speed than some other schools because they don't have the size or the shooting ability or whatever else. So you'll find some quickness that you'll go up against some of these teams that you need to beat. But I just his shot is just smooth. His ability to get the basket is smooth. I thought he took a bad shot. Coach pulled him. I thought a quick three. Coming out of a timeout, followed by a drive with a heave. You know, again, that those are our learning moments. They're not good. And again, you know, you got to understand I'm a coach. I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, you're a freshman. Nice job. You only threw the ball up when you were falling down. And no, tomorrow, I don't care if you're a freshman. It's a bad shot. But boy, is he good. And I think he's going to have to get upwards of 20 minutes come tournament time, Big Ten tournament time, end of the Big Ten. If Indiana's going to reach their potential, because talent is there, the ability to score. And that's kind of why we lost the lead, too, is you got one guy in the post that can score, but you need that driver. X did it a little bit, but, boy, having Tamar on there getting to the foul line, too. The one thing that I will point out, a couple things, is our ability to post feed. It looked a lot easier this year, and you could tell Coach Woodson is emphasizing getting that ball into the post, especially in that second half I mentioned earlier. At the 10-minute mark, he went with the two low post, a high-low thing specifically to settle the team down and try to throw it in the post. It didn't necessarily work out because we didn't score a lot, and then he went to that flex later on. So those are some things that he knew this team was a little out of control shooting and not hitting shots and not executing, and he tried to put his thumb on it, And that's a reason to be positive, too, is, you know, he knows what he's doing. You know, this was bad. He's going to be the one who says it's bad, too. Maybe not publicly, but he's not going to be happy at all. But he did try to put his thumb on that with some designs that, hey, guys, go to Trace when you're in trouble. And then post feeds were something we might have missed because it's not as fun as the dunks and the moves. But I really thought we post fed the basketball a lot better than in previous seasons.
And speaking of that, Coach, I know that they pointed it out on the BTN telecast, but I thought Trace did a much better job this year of facing up. He, you know, he squared up and was able to see what the defense was doing, whether they were bringing the double team or whether they're going to take him one-on-one. The other part, Coach, I would kind of be interested in your opinion. I know we had some letdowns, a couple, but I thought overall our closeouts were a whole lot better this year getting out to the threes, especially in the first half again. But I had that in my notes a couple different times. I just really liked the way we went to attack the closeouts. What'd you think?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Our defense was fun tonight. And I think that's why we're going to win more games. The offense hurt the defense because it didn't spread the game out. And then, you know, kids will get hot on you, and you can close out super, and a guy can bang threes. And then he drives the lane and kicking his legs and doing all this stuff. And we've seen it way too many times against the Indiana basketball team. One kid just getting hot, banking in threes. It seems almost every year some no-name kid from Eastern Michigan, Washington State of Georgia or something banks in 10 threes on us, you know. But you need the offense to keep that at 20, 25. So when the kid gets hot, it only goes back to 16 or 15, not gets down under 10, and then you get tight. And the kids, here's the thing. Those kids want Indiana basketball back. The coaching staff wants, and it just got a little bit tight in certain parts of the body your butt started puckering up a little bit in game one because that wasn't supposed to happen. That's a teaching point as well. So you can learn a lot from an awful performance. And this was just an awful offensive performance, but it wasn't awful on the defensive end. I thought their attitude, effort, their rebounding, I thought was good too. And yes, it's Eastern Michigan, but I think those things are things to build on.
Well, and I just think that, like you said, you know, a lot of that, you know, they can improve on. And I think there are areas offensively that the coaches are going to do. I'm really excited to see what they will kind of adjust come Friday night and how they do things. But I agree with you about offense. On the offensive end, Coach, don't you think, and maybe Jared, you know, I'm not trying to take over the show, but
Coach's corner without Jared.
When it got to like the last 10 minutes, as it got closer, it was almost like you could just see them playing not to lose, you want them to go out there playing to win. You still want them to have that, but that's, yeah, especially with a group that's still relatively new together. Coach, you've been there, you know, sometimes they got to learn that process, but they just look like they were, I don't want to be the guy that misses a shot. I don't want to be the guy.
Isn't that the coach's dilemma? Like when to stop playing, you know, when to start eating clock? You know what I mean? Right. And I said that earlier too. All season, you got the freedom to shoot, freedom to shoot, freedom to shoot, freedom to shoot. All of a sudden, it's a 12-point game. You take two bad threes and a running shot in the lane, and it's down to six. Those are teaching points. It's bad decisions, bad execution, but it's a teaching point. A lot better to teach with a win. But I do think some of that was the game. Some of that was, hey, we had freedom, and now I got to pull back. And you couldn't let them keep going the way they were going, or you would have lost the game. Yeah. That's a hard decision as a coach of when to do that. That's why I like the sets that he ran, which just forced them to run some time and some patterns instead of just, you know, trying to create on their own. And I think it ultimately worked because we got the victory.
Well, and I just think you pointed that out, as you're pointing out, there was a spot there in the second half where Miller Kopp had a wide open corner three. And he pump faked, he hesitated, then he shot it, and he left it short, kind of flat. And I made the comment to somebody, it was like, shouldn't have hesitated. Because to me, that was still a point in the game where it should have been a free flow. If you've got the green light, that's one you let fly. And I would trust Miller. I know he didn't hit, it was 0-for-3 tonight. Yeah, he didn't even hit a three. But I think Miller's going to be a kid that hits those shots for us, and I want to see him shoot that shot at that point. That was still when we still had a double-digit lead even. But he pump faked, like he shot about it or thought about it and then shot it. And I've always believed when you think about it, you hesitate, you usually don't hit it.
All right, guys. Good stuff there. Let's go to Inside the Numbers, break down the most important numbers. This segment sponsored by the Power Rank, where our friend Ed uses data and analytics to make accurate football and March Madness predictions. You know Ed. He's been on the show several times before. So if you want sports betting advice with a PhD edge, or if you just like understanding sports at a more analytical level, you should subscribe to Ed's free newsletter. Go to thepowerrank.com/AC to describe. That's thepowerrank.com/AC. And be on the lookout for Ed's March Madness guide, which will come out later this year. It's awesome. All right, guys, let's dissect the numbers that tell the story of this game. My favorite number on the stat sheet, going back to the conversation about Tamar Bates. Two for two from the free throw line for the freshman, which is always good to see, especially on a night when Indiana is 12 of 20. You know, we've talked about that. The bad shooting demons were there once again. Hopefully part of that is just you're going to have a couple bad shooting nights in the season. Sometimes it comes on your first game and it kind of highlights it a little bit, but maybe being out in front of the big crowd again, some jitters, all that stuff. I don't think this is going to be a particularly good three-point shooting team, but I certainly think we'll be better than that. And if, you know, you make three or four more of the open threes by capable shooters, it's a double-digit victory that you feel a lot better about. And so I think that context is at least important to point out. The other thing for me that kind of jumps out, Coach, that I didn't really like on the stat sheet is losing steals 6-3. And the reason why, it kind of gets back to something that you talked about earlier, which is kind of loose ball handling. You know, some of those were unforced, you know, just bad passes, bad dribbles that they got. And I thought the fact that we only got three steals, you know, that was in part just because I thought our defensive energy, you know, waned at times, you know, there in the middle of the first half and even longer for a stretch in the second half. I think against this team with our athleticism advantage, those numbers should at least be flipped, if not more. So those kind of jumped out to me. What numbers stood out to you in particular tonight?
Well, I'm going to go back and yes, we gave them steals too by throwing the ball right to their hands a little bit early in the first half, but we only had 8 turnovers with an increased pace. That's got to be a sign of positivity too, that it comes back to shot making, because we didn't turn it over 15 times, even though we were playing fast and shooting faster in the shot clock. So that's a positive. But they came in bunches, you know. X had 3 right away, so maybe that was early in his stint with the crowd. And then Rob came in right away and turned one over too. So there's 4 in the first 5 minutes of their season. So yeah, you could probably pare that down. But they still had 4 turnovers in that. But 8 only. What was interesting to see. The other number we mentioned for me is Miller Kopp and has to get more attempts, and Parker Stewart has to get more attempts. I think that's where you're going to score. If they double team the post, or if X or Rob drive the lane, we got to space up. I saw Coach Adranya say something. They were a little stagnant on the backside. They weren't moving, lifting, you know, shaking up, whatever the term is that your program uses. So it's kind of hard to find people as well. Again, get better between game 1 and game 2, but more shots for the guys who are supposed to be the shooters, and keep the turnovers under 10. The offense will take care of itself. We got to hit shots a little bit better.
You know, and Coach Marlowe, one other number that I think is interesting is the 4 fouls on Race Thompson. He means so much to this team that, especially until Michael Durr gets back, he's going to have to play his brand of basketball, which is physical, which is active, without fouling. You know, and I thought a couple of his fouls were just, you know, getting a little bit off balance. And again, hopefully it's, you know, first game type stuff. But this team was significantly worse with him off the court tonight. And so against a better team, they might have been able to take advantage of that. And those minutes off the court cost us, you know, a win. So for as good as Race played, he's got to play that same brand of basketball, but stay on the court until reinforcements come in the front court. What other numbers stood out to you?
Well, and I don't necessarily want to get big into plus minus, but I just think that I would like to have seen what there was that lineup in the first half, and it goes back to Race being in the lineup. We went a little smaller. We moved Race to the 5, and then we basically play. I want to say it might have been Rob and Tamar and Jordan and maybe Trey was in that rotation, and that group actually played pretty well. And so I know we don't necessarily want to play totally small. I mean, we have Michael Dewar for a reason. But I did kind of like that lineup. I would like to see what the numbers were with that group on the floor. You know, and again, I'm not a huge plus minus guy, but I'd like to know what our, you know, did we outscore them by a decent amount while that group was in? The other number I was looking at was assists. We had 13 assists on 26 made buckets. So 50% of our makes, I would like obviously for it to be a little higher, but we were assisting. We were moving the ball to a certain degree. The number that concerns me a little bit, and again, it goes back to what Coach has been talking about, not just threes, but, oh, you know, and I know the three number drags it down a little bit, but so we were 22. That's why it wasn't quite as bad. We were 22 of 38. So our 2% number was a little bit better than I thought it was until I actually did the math there. So, you know, we just got to find a way to knock down shots, and that 17% is just not acceptable.
Yeah. You know, and look, I mean, Coach, we can kind of bottom line this. I mean, Indiana only scores, you know, 0.944 points per possession tonight. And that's probably the most important number. You know, I know that, you know, looking at preseason KenPom numbers and looking at last season's numbers tell a very partial story. But just for some context, Eastern Michigan was 296 in the country in defense last year. And they came in, you know, to this game. Well, I don't know what they came into, but they're 255th now. And there's a reason why Indiana's KenPom ranking dropped from 31 to 39th after tonight's game, because this was a game Indiana was supposed to win by more. And a big part of the reason why was just the offense. You know, scoring less than a point per possession in your home arena against Eastern Michigan, I think we've tried to give as many explanations as we can for maybe why the shooting's not better and, you know, guys learning a new system and all this stuff. Like, ultimately, yeah, maybe that whittles you down to you should have had 1.05 points per possession, not 0.944. And that is, I think, a very reasonable thing to walk away from this game being concerned about, that, boy, our first game out, the bar is set really low for where this offense is. And a performance like this is going to get you beat in almost every Big Ten arena and your own home against Big Ten teams. So they got a ways to go offensively. And there's no talking around that after tonight. That's a bad number against this team.
Yeah, you know, and I'm pretty disappointed. Everyone can tell. I'm getting texts from people who are watching going, man, Coach, you were so looking forward to the day, and now you're so grumpy. It was plain just shooting. You know, if you have 13 assists and 8 turnovers, that's not a – the foundation is there.
Yep.
The pace is there. The foundation is there. The rotation is there. The guys that we have can shoot the basketball at least in the mid-30s. The foundation is there. It just needs to get better. I mean, it was a very, very poor shooting. And then the bigger issue, Jared, for me is this group has had trouble handling adversity. The big runs for the last 2 years, the 11 losses out of 12, it just seemed as when the offense stopped, then the defense waned just a little bit. And then it was like, oh, no, this is going to happen again. They've got to get mentally past that. And that's going to be a challenge to the coaching staff to just say, I didn't see anyone really gather anyone up and chew anyone out on there. Or, hey, we got it. They were talking, and I don't know what was said or not said, but they all looked a little shell-shocked, like this has been so good. Everything's been positive. We played well in the Bahamas. We played well at Belmont. Now we're not playing, and that old, oh, my gosh, look on their faces kind of appeared again. So the two things are shoot the ball better and have a little confidence. Yeah, you had a bad shooting game, but your defense kept you in. That's what championship teams do, because you're going to have off nights offensively. So fix what you can. Get some more reps up. You know, come back tonight and shoot some shots and cook all. And then flush it and get ready for Friday.
And I agree with that. I think you just got to try and put it – you learn from it. But like Coach said, you flush it. But I also – one of the things I talked a little bit about last year and the couple times I was on – I refer to it as the alpha. Who's the guy that's going to say, I want the ball, I want to make a play? Now, it might be X, it might be Xavier, because he showed that in that last play, you know, that last 20 seconds. I like that. To me, that's a winning play. But we need more of that. We can't have, like Coach is talking about, we can't have what it ended up being, about a 5-minute drought that seemed like where we didn't score. And we can't have that. I mean, and I think part of that, you know, Coach is, you know, you're getting the text and stuff and we're hassling you a little bit. But I think we had everything had been going so well in the offseason that we just assumed that tonight they were going to come out and score 100 points and hold them to 30 and, you know, was going to, you know, just hang a banner. But it's a work in progress. And I think coach, I'll be very interested. I wish I could be a fly on the wall at practice tomorrow in a film session and just really listen to things that they're emphasizing. I know the things we're talking about, but I'd like to know what they see in the film and what they're emphasizing.
The only other number that I want to mention, and it allows us to talk about a guy we haven't talked about tonight, is Trey Galloway, who had one assist, two turnovers, and four fouls. And I point those numbers out specifically because, you know, Trey Galloway, the two things to me that you really want him to bring is creating offensive opportunities for his teammates and playing good, solid defense. And I didn't think he did that a lot tonight. You know, it kind of looked like more of the same from him that we saw in the second half of last year. You know, now look, he did have a couple of drives where he made some nice passes. He had an assist. I know he had that floater in the second half, you know, but also had a couple of opportunity or, you know, possessions their coach where he, you know, kind of dribbled into the lane without much to do and turned it over and, you know, seemed kind of a step slow physically and mentally on defense, which is why he picked up those fouls. I think if you're going to give Trey Galloway 14 minutes, you need those numbers to be flipped from him. He's got to defend without fouling, and he's got to give you more assists than turnovers, because until something drastically changes, he's not going to be a guy who scores, you know, against the athleticism of college basketball players, and he's not making outside shots. So he's got to create offense, and he's got to defend without fouling. Tonight he didn't do that. So hopefully it's a one-night thing, but it wasn't a great initial omen for what he's going to do with his minutes.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, again, to be in the coach's office, too. I wonder if they thought he was a better matchup defensively to shut off some of the drives at that position. Yes, he fouled, and that's a negative number, and I agree with you wholeheartedly that, you know, he's got to do what he's got to do. But there might be some unwritten successes there that don't show up on the stat sheet. That's the reason the coach went with him. Because maybe he felt, and I don't know, that he was able to stop some of the things Eastern Michigan was doing a little better than Miller Kopp or whoever he was in there for in his rotation minutes. Sometimes there's just a better feel. Coach Marlowe can talk about it. Here's this guy, he's going to do this. And it's maybe on the offensive end, you just set screens or you the threat of a drive helps open up something else. And there's no stat that shows that, but the coach sees it in film. That's the only reason I think he gets 14 minutes because he can do those things you said, Jared. And I actually, short of the two turnovers, I thought he was okay. Not great. I thought he was okay. I thought he played with a lot of pace. He looked to drive and attack when he could. You know, the two turnovers need to be corrected. But again, we only had eight. And if you're going to play a faster pace, eight is acceptable.
It does kind of feel like the speed of the offense caught up to him a little bit because he was always playing that fast last year.
Right.
And now it's like the pace of the offense caught up to him a little bit.
And there's something true. Both coaches have thrown him out there. In some minutes that are valuable. So there's a lot of intangible things, I think, that if we sat down and had, you know, full access to coach, that he would say, this is why I like him. And sometimes guys are good for the game without stats.
Well, you know,
and that's the only thing I can imagine.
You know, he's going to give you 100% effort and he's going to be aggressive. You know, so yes. He's going to make mistakes of aggression, and that's right. A plus on his side. He just, as he matures as a second-year player, he's got to be able to be aggressive and effective at a higher rate, you know? And so hopefully as we move forward in these non-conference games, we see that from him.
Well, I think that sometimes we get so caught up in the analytics of the game anymore that sometimes coaches, you know, like Coach Townsend, he said, we play hunches. I just got a hunch that kid is a better matchup tonight than somebody else that would be on the bench. And it won't show up in a stat sheet. And somebody's going to ask you after a post game, why did Trey Galloway play or why did, you know, Timmy Smith play more tonight than, you know, Jimmy Jones. I mean, it just, that's the way it is. We just sometimes play hunches and sometimes we're right. And sometimes we don't look very good on those hunches, but I really liked, I will say this about the fouls. If you play enough minutes and in 14, 15 minutes, maybe kind of a borderline, but Coach Tonsoni, I always felt like if our kids were getting decent minutes, they need at least three fouls. I mean, if you're not at least in our system, if you weren't picking up three fouls and you were playing 25, 26 minutes, you weren't being aggressive enough. You weren't being active enough. Now, Trey got a couple fouls tonight that were probably like you know, what are you thinking? But I don't mind a foul if you're being active. I don't mind a foul if you're, you know, you're within, you know, the flow of what you're trying to do. The other thing I really liked about Trey and Jared and I talked a little bit about this kind of in text, I think, was that they played a little point forward with him in the first half. And it kind of reminded me kind of the old Bucks with Paul Pressey, where they, you know, play a little point forward because Rob was on the floor at the same time, but he wasn't the one bringing up the floor and initiating the offense. That would be something I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more of with that second unit.
Coach, I agree with you on the fouls. I think you need to foul at least once a half, at least to show that you're real active. Now, you don't want TJD just being ridiculous with his fouls, and you really want to protect him. But the other guys, you better be up in someone's grill, and you better be cutting off, flashes to the middle and bump someone. Okay, the official calls one. You don't want four necessarily, because that puts you in jeopardy of being disqualified. But I think that's a great point, Coach. You got to the way long, long time ago when I played, I always took one in the first half right away and told the kid, I'm here all day. I usually hit him in the stomach or the face and said, yep, that's the first one. You keep driving, there'll be more. I think you got to play that way. That's what Race gets fouls too, and that's why Race does a lot of the intangible things too. So I think that's a very good point.
I would have liked to see a young Coach Tonsoni play one-on-one against Tamar Bates and just hear the trash talk that would occur.
I enjoy talking about it, but I'm not really proud of some of the stuff I said on the high school basketball.
I'm not sure that
to the players and to the fans.
There's nothing wrong with trash talk, Coach. There's nothing.
I'm not sure Coach Tonsoni how he would have done, but I could not have guarded that kid. That was not my forte in high school. I was a shooter, so don't ask me to guard that kid.
Fairly certain none of us could guard him. That's nope. That is for sure. There's a reason why he's a 5-star recruit. All right. Let's move on now to our next segment coming up. We're going to hand out our game balls and our Hoosier Hustle Award. Then we will look ahead to Indiana's next opponent before it's time for Last Call. That's next on the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Romeo Langford. What's the only thing better than hitting a game winner to beat Wisconsin? Celebrate it with friends afterwards. Join Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach on Assembly Call after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosiers.
Thank you, Romeo. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. Catch us live following every IU basketball game, plus every Thursday night at our website, assemblycall.com. And make sure that you sign up for our free IU Hoops email newsletter. Over 9,000 of your fellow IU fans have subscribed. You can join for free today at join.assemblycall.com. That's join.assemblycall.com. I'm Jared Morris, here with the coach Brian Tonsoni and the coach Jeff Marlowe. Guys, it is time to hand out our game balls. Now, let's remember, game balls are always a little tricky when you have a team like Indiana has this year with a clear superstar player. He's probably going to get the game ball most of the time, and that's okay, because we also have our Hoosier Hustle Award coming, which kind of allows us to have a secondary game ball for another performance that is worthy of mention. So, let's be fair to Trace Jackson Davis, and if he deserves a game ball, Let's give it to him. I got to give him the game ball tonight. 21 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks. I thought he really changed portions of the game with his defense. I thought he showed some really nice passing, and he was efficient, you know, 9 of 14. Now, only 3 of 7 from the free throw line, and obviously he disappeared at times in the second half. That's partly on him, partly on the guys, you know, for not finding him. And so I certainly don't think that it was a performance without fault. But in a game where you only win by 6 points, you needed all of that production. And that is one thing from Trace, man. You know, you can nitpick his game, and sometimes he doesn't quite have it, and other times he does. But he is a guy who really consistently, since the day he stepped foot on campus, probably not ready to be the star that the whole team revolved around. He was thrust into that, and he produces. He puts up numbers, and sometimes you just need those numbers to get a win. And Indiana needed him tonight. So a really solid game from Trace Jackson Davis, so he gets my game ball. Coach Tonsoni, your game ball goes to?
Coach Woodson. Welcome
hey,
back.
Hey, okay. All right.
Welcome back. We're glad you're here. You know, obviously you got a tall task ahead of you, especially after the offensive performance tonight, but you're in it for the right reasons. And I do think that Indiana is in good hands, and there'll be a lot better performances because it means something to you. And for bringing Coach Knight back and getting the guys back together, there's just a better feel. I'm going to be honest. I thought it was a bad offensive performance, and it's not good. But I'm proud to have you back. I'm proud that you're a Hoosier. Let's go get another one on Friday. But this is win number one of many. Thanks for doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
Coach Marlow.
Wow. I didn't know we could pick the coaching staff. So he's
you can't, but I just do it anyway.
I'll kind of go the other way. I'll go with Race. I know wow. He only scored 5 points, but 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal. And he was plus 18 when he was on the floor.
All right. Well, that means the Chat Mob gets to break the tie here. Let's go, Chat Mob. Help me count them up here because it looks like it was kind of split. We've got AZ Hoosiers giving it to Race. Kathy seems like she's giving it to Race. Let's go. Start putting them in there. We got Justin Race, Jay Race, Kathy Race. Okay. It looks like people are going with Race Thompson. All right. Following the lead of Ryan Phillips here and going with Race. Jay went with Trace Jackson Davis, a very sensible choice by Jay.
Three more
it's
Race.
Pretty clear. It's pretty clear.
It's not mediocre either.
Okay. Race Thompson is your game one game ball. A worthy recipient. Race played really, really well. But look. You know, part of the game,
you know,
here's my issue with the argument for Race. Okay, people are saying that we were much better with him on the court. Availability is a skill, and Race only played 24 minutes because of those 4 fouls. So Trace was out there for 37. That's why, to me, I weighted Trace's production over Race's. I mean, Race was better in the minutes he was on the court, but you got to be out there.
But Jared, we auto-set him with 2 fouls. How did you feel about that?
Oh, no. Coach Marlow, don't go there. I'm going to take it away from Coach Jared's comments because he's going to go. He's going to get really mad.
2 fouls.
How about our Chat Mob? You know, they appreciate a guy like Race. You know, and Trace will get 30 some game balls probably before it's said and done with either. But kudos to the Chat Mob.
Everybody, everybody appreciates Race. Race played an outstanding game. It's just this is what happens with great players, and it's fair. You get graded on a curve. And so Trace has to do something extraordinary, and that's fine. I think that's okay. But in a game like tonight, the guy who plays 37 minutes over the guy who plays 24, I'm giving mine to the guy who played 37. So
that's and that's a fair. That's fair. I just was, since Coach went with Coach Woodson, I was like, I might as well go with somebody else. I'll make a tie. But I do have a concern a little bit about first game of the year, TJD. I know Durr's hurt, but TJD having to play 37 minutes tonight is a concern.
I agree. We need Michael Durr back.
Agreed.
Michael Durr is the difference between 2 or 3 wins in Big Ten play. I firmly believe that. I mean, I think he can make us a 12-8 team, or we could be 10-10. We know how important that depth is. And it's not just for keeping Trace fresh. It's for having the fouls. And Michael Durr has some skills. Like, he's not just a body. He can step out and make shots. So I agree. We need to get him back. He's going to be really important because he's a better player than Joey Brunk. And Joey Brunk, I thought, was the difference between two or three wins last year. So we got to get him back. All right. Time now for the Hoosier Hustle Award, sponsored by our friends at Evansville Security Services. The Hoosier Real Hustle Award. That's a placeholder name because obviously it was the Mike Roberts Hustle Award. We haven't fully figured out exactly what we're going to name it. The great Bob Thompson emails me, it was this morning or yesterday. He's like, hey, do you need new music for how great is Bob Thompson? So we just say we're going to call it the Hoosier Hustle Award until we get a better name. But speaking of our friends at Evansville Security Services, they're based in the hometown of IU legend Calbert Chaney and hopefully future legend Christian Lander, although getting a DNP coach's decision in your first game of the season doesn't portend well for that, but it's early, so hopefully he gets plenty of minutes. But Evansville Security Services provides off-duty police officers to businesses and individuals throughout Indiana. Remember, prevention cannot be measured, so let Evansville Security Services help you prevent a bad outcome today. Go to evansvillesecurityservices.com to learn more. That's evansvillesecurityservices.com. This one to me is easy. Race Thompson gets this award. He was all over the place. He absolutely maximized everything that he could do with his minutes. And I think he just played tough Race Thompson type basketball. As we said, I think he's got to be able to do it without fouling because I don't think we're going to win a lot of games with him playing 24 minutes. You know, he's got to be a 28 to 32 minute a game guy. But he really played well tonight. A good first night out for him. Coach Tonsoni. Who gets, you're going to give it to Dane Fife, maybe go with Coach Ya, Thad Mata for the Hoosier Hustle Award. Who gets it?
J.D. Campbell was really kind to me with the media passes for Bracketology. I've talked to him this week, and so I'm going to get some media passes. So he gets the Hustle Award for getting me in the building here a few times this year. No, I it's hard not to go with Race for the Hustle Award either. The other candidate is Geronimo, simply for you have to hustle to get that high off the floor to grab a pass and dunk the ball like he did. But I'm going to go with Race. He just was all over the place today. And I think a key reason why Indiana was able to hold out, he came back in late and did some nice things too. So I'm gonna go with you, Jared.
One under the radar name for this could be Xavier Johnson because he did play hard. I mean, he had too many turnovers, but he certainly played hard. Coach Marlow, who are you going with?
You kind of stole one of my guys. I was thinking about Xavier Johnson, but I wasn't sure if we could pick the same person for both awards. So that was
No. You got to go with somebody different. I don't know. We don't have rules. Actually, go with whatever you want. It's game one.
I'll kind of go with Xavier there. I just thought that since I went with Race on the game ball, I'll go with Xavier because he ended up with 14 points and three assists to go with, and he was 5 of 6 at the free throw line. And he made the play to me at the end of the game that was a winning play. So I'm going to go with Xavier Johnson.
A true rarity, Race Thompson winning the game ball and the hustle award with no overlap votes either, which doesn't happen very often. Who did the chat mob go with for the Hoosier Hustle Award? A lot of race. Kathy went with Xavier. Okay.
There's Geronimo. Else?
Yeah, we got some Geronimo votes. All very worthy. All very worthy candidates. All right, guys, any other storylines from this game? You know, I know one thing people are asking about is, Christian Lander and Anthony Leal both did not play. Just obviously the guys right now that are the odd men out in the rotation. Same with, Logan Duncombe, Indiana only played 9 guys. And I think, maybe if you look at, you only win this game by 6. Yeah, it goes in the books as a win, all that stuff. But it also, coach, it's a bit of a lost opportunity in that if you're up by 40 points, you can, or 20 points or 30 points late, you can get some other guys in the game. Trace doesn't have to play 37 minutes. So that is the other part of this where it's like, man, we really missed an opportunity there for a Lander, for a Leal to get in and to, to save some wear and tear on Trace because those were tough minutes at the end. I mean, he's getting fouled. He's posting up. So that's something that you don't want. That's a well that you don't want to have to go to in game one against the 300th ranked team in the country.
Yeah, and that's, again, where it's just a little frustrating. You had a 20-point lead and let it get down to, 2 at one point? I think it got down to, or 3. It was at least a 1 possession a couple times where we had to score to push it back up. That's where, you miss out. those 9, 10, 11, 12 guys that could have gotten 3 or 4 minutes, gotten some game film, as we've mentioned earlier. Those are all teaching points that early on in some of these games that, you know, you would like to be up 25 or 30 with 4 minutes to go and rest your players. You know, the 37 minutes is going to take a toll. I think TJD missed some free throws again late because he was a little bit tired from, you know, all the effort he had to put out. So, I think 8 or 9 is ideal for a coach to run. Otherwise, you know, you got to be on the floor and get a rhythm. And if you're playing 11 or 12, I think you lose that rhythm and playing with each other and knowing where the pass needs to be. And so I like an 8 or 9 man rotation, especially tighten it up when you get later in the season. But you do want to get opportunities for guys to get minutes that are on the backside. And tonight was a missed opportunity.
By the way, we have some controversy in the chat here, as John Bender reminds us. The Hustle Award, Alex reminds us, the Hustle Award was created to not give the game ball to the same person. So giving it to different people makes sense. And that is true. And so I do think that we need to have a rule that you cannot vote for the same guy for the game ball and the hustle. But in the odd case like tonight, where no votes overlapped, it's just that the chat mob broke the tie for the game ball and then two of us picked Race for the hustle, we'll have to allow it. So Race wins both, even though it's just kind of a quirk of the voting. So I hear all of you in there. I think you're correct. But I think hosts cannot vote for the same person. The chat mob cannot award it to the same person. But I do think if the vote just kind of comes out like it did tonight with a 3-man panel, we have to honor the vote. Coach, Marlo, did you want to respond to what Coach Tonsoni said? Kathy just gave me a blah. Blah.
I just trying to remember when you got me off. You went on your thing about not voting. I forgot what Coach said.
Don't ask me to repeat it. I forgot too. It wasn't worth the crap anyway.
Oh, about Lander. I that was it. We're talking about Lander and Leal. But I was surprised about Lander, especially considering some of the comments that we'd seen in the press availability the last couple of days, and from some of the things that we'd gotten out of the Belmont scrimmage. I really thought that Lander would get some run tonight. And so him not getting any was very surprising to me. But again, it kind of goes back to, I wonder if they just thought maybe a better defensive matchup tonight with, for example, a Trey Galloway on the floor rather than a Christian Lander. The other person I really wanted to kind of mention here as well was Rob. I really think, and I know we mentioned a little bit earlier, but if we were having like a sixth man of the game, that would be my thing. Rob was that person tonight. And I think if he can continue, he's got to shoot a little better. But I just like the way – more aggressive Rob, to me, is always going to be a better Rob Tennessee than the kid we've seen the last couple of years.
Yeah, and the hope is just that maybe it takes him a few games to get comfortable in his new green light, you know, this new green light situation, because he's a guy that's got some offensive skill. But, you know, for all the talk about the new Rob, at the end of the day, like, we've seen stat lines like this from him before, 3 for 11 and 1 for 5, and kind of struggling to be a consistent force offensively. So hopefully we see, you know, better from him over the next few games as he gets comfortable in his new role. Okay, coming up, we have Assembly Call Radio on Thursday night. I do believe that will mark Ryan coming back and being ready to do his Ja'Kai Newton scouting report. I know that commitment feels like it was months ago. It was a few weeks ago. Ryan hasn't been on there to do his extensive scouting report, so he should be here for that Thursday night. And, of course, we'll get his thoughts and Andy's thoughts on this game. And then Friday night, we have Northern Illinois, who is a worse MAC team than Eastern Michigan. They're actually ranked number 326 in KenPom to start the season. Coach Tonsoni, I'm sure they're not on your bracketology radar. Do you know anything about you got to fill in the role of Andy here and give us something on Northern Illinois.
I have no clue. They're from Illinois. I have no clue. We didn't, for the MAC, we look at the top two teams and decide who gets the automatic qualifier in our preseason bid. We don't do a deep dive into the bowels of the MAC conference. Hey, so it is though an opportunity to fix a lot of the things that went wrong. And maybe, you know, you always look at film differently. You feel film as a coach, and Coach Marlo can talk about this, your immediate reaction. So many times when you think you played well, then you go back and watch the film, all of a sudden, man, you didn't play well. Or like tonight when you're frustrated because the game got tight, and you go back and say, you know what, we did everything right except knockdown shots. So film study is so important for coaches too. We get on the air right away and we just have that immediate emotion. There could have been, you know, when you really break this down and the coaching staff really breaks this down, they're probably going, we had 8 turnovers, 13 assists. We got the shots we wanted. They'll grade the shots and the quality of shots. And if they feel they got good quality shots and they just didn't go in, then that's really a plus. And they'll fix maybe some of the attitude, not negative attitude, just the shock, and move forward. So the best thing when you struggle a little bit and have a close contest is to get back out there. And in 2 days, you get back out there, and it's probably good that you're not going and playing a top 20 team right away, because you can go back and feel better about yourself heading into St. John's next week.
Well, and I agree. I think when you go back and look at the film, I think you're going to see a lot of open shots that we didn't knock down. And that's a concern, obviously. But I think that they're going to grade – the grades are going to actually look a little better, except for making the shot. I agree, like Coach said. And I totally agree. There were times when I thought we played well and went and watched the film, like, wow, we got lucky. We really didn't defend very well. They just missed shots, kind of the opposite. I think that, Coach brings up a really good point about watching the film as well. You got to be, you just got to get used to looking at the film, and you got to be honest with it. And that's the other thing that sometimes kids are very, it's hard for them to say. They don't like to be pointed out for their flaws. And I would think that the coaching staff will find a way to do that as well and try to keep them somewhat in a positive, not try to tear them down the first game.
Yeah, all that is true. And yet, I think I speak for a lot of IU fans when I say I'm a little tired of these home games where the other team seems to make all these contested shots and we seem to miss all these open shots. And, that needs to start going in the other direction a little bit more.
Well, and I will say this. I do know that Northern Illinois is in DeKalb. That part I do know.
They are. And interesting point about Northern Illinois. So my dad was a coach at Northern Illinois in 1981. He went there. He was there coaching under Bill Mallory and that staff. And I was born in 1981. I was supposed to be born in DeKalb, but my mom actually didn't like how DeKalb, Illinois sounded. So she found a hospital in Sycamore for me to be born in because she thought Sycamore sounded better. So I was born in Sycamore, Illinois because of that. So I always have a little bit of a soft spot in my heart for Northern Illinois.
I do too. I worked a couple camps up there for Rob Judson when he was the head coach at Northern Illinois. So, and
very nice.
Of course, Rob eventually ended up on Crean staff, but I'm going to be there Friday night. I'm excited to see what the crowd's like and to see what they look like in person. So
very good. Very good. All right. Well, you're listening to the Assembly Call. Remember to check out our friends at Homefield Apparel. Use that promo code HOME, HOME at checkout to get 15% off your first order. Gentlemen, it is time for last call, our final thoughts on the first game of the Mike Woodson era. Coach Marlowe, why don't you go first?
We got to get better at shooting the ball, and I'm not trying to just beat the same dead horse, but the other part I liked was the defense. I really liked a lot of the rotations. I liked some of the things we were doing in terms of picking up in full court, just putting a little bit of pressure. We weren't looking to create turnovers, but just try to use some shot clock. And I did like some of the things we did offensively when we had ball movement and player movement. There were just too many times in the second half where we didn't have it.
Well said, Coach Tonsoni.
Hey, a win's a win. It was not pretty by any standards offensively, but there's probably a lot more positives that you can pull out individually and collectively as the team. And it's a shock a little bit more as a fan than anything. And sometimes we as coaches can get shocked too. You feel really good about your team, and then all of a sudden the things go wrong that you didn't really expect to go wrong, and it makes the result look a little bit worse than what it maybe should be. So, after we settle down, wake up and have some breakfast tomorrow morning, Indiana's 1-0. It you don't get a whole lot of style points, even in the net. You could fix this. So, we'll get back at it on Friday. Hey, Jay, that's just the way I was born. I was born with a resting grumpy face.
I saw that in the chat. I was already laughing before we pulled it up on the screen.
Oh, that's beautiful.
But you are right about the beverage.
Look, Indiana is 1-0. We averted disaster. If you're going to compare opening nights, this one was a heck of a lot better than the last coach's opening night.
Heck yes.
So there's at least progress there. But I can't help but walk away from it feeling like it was a major missed opportunity. I mean, there's no reason for Christian Lander and Anthony Leal and even Logan Duncan, who you may need this season if Michael Durr isn't healthy. It's a big missed opportunity to not get them minutes. You know, you look at this schedule, this game against a 300-level team, Friday night's game against a 300-level team, these are some of the easiest games, you know, theoretically on your schedule. Now, we'll have to see where teams end up. I think it's a missed opportunity to not get those guys minutes. You know, so for all the stuff that we've talked about with potential positives and if they shoot better and all this stuff, I think those things are all true. But that's the negative. On the flip side, you know, I think the positive thing to remember here is that Indiana has now played four games. Two against BC Mega in the Bahamas, one against Belmont, and this one tonight against Eastern Michigan. And this is by far the worst of those four teams. And they performed much better in the other games. You know, so I think you can look at that and you can say, okay, this team now has, they've gone out there four times. They've won every time. And in the other games, they shot better. They played better against better competition. Maybe this was an off night for all the reasons that we posited it may be. We're not going to know until we have a few more games and we can look back at it in hindsight. But I think if you want to hold on to that and go into Friday night saying, okay, we averted disaster tonight. We missed an opportunity, but let's go. We'll get back on track and have a nice, easy, you know, breeze of a game on Friday night. I think that would be fair to expect. And that's kind of the mindset that I'm taking. Now, if they come out Friday night and struggle to put away Northern Illinois, I think it would be time to sound a few more alarms than maybe what we're ready to sound tonight. But ultimately, it's 1-0. You know, it's not going to help your computer rankings any, but it does, you know, get you the first win. You avert disaster, and now let's move forward, continue to get better, and hopefully play better on Friday night.
That's the All thing right, well, I was using. I real quick, I was going to say that you're up 20 and they kind of let off the gas. I would have liked to see them put the pedal to the metal and put them away. If that becomes kind of a trend, then that will be something to keep an eye on.
Yes, absolutely. Because all those trends from the last few years, we changed coaches to reverse those. So eventually we got to see those go in the other direction for sure. All right, folks, that is going to do it for this edition of the Assembly Call. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall. And don't forget to go to join.assemblycall.com to join our free newsletter. Special thanks to Bob Thompson for the music that you hear on the show. Special thanks also to John Ringer of Rig Design for designing our logo, which we're going to unveil here soon, our new logo. And thank you for listening. We'll be back to talk IU hoops again with you on Thursday night. Until then.
Take it from me, Yogi Ferrell. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim. And go Hoosiers.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
All right. I got to get out of here, folks. Thank you.
Here I come, Mrs. Stansoni.
All right.
I have no energy to chase Mrs. Tonsoni tonight. I was hoping for a totally different result. Here I come, first game. Life. Nah, not even him.
Hey, I will tell you this.
Kick back and watch Kentucky lose.
Yeah, maybe that would make my night. Ohio State almost lost. I was looking at some of the things in the chat. There's a lot of teams.
Those are better opponents, though, right?
Well,
Akron's a lot better than.
True.
I don't like being compared to Cal. I know Ari put that in there.
That's true. I will say this: if you on the women's side, they said Michigan struggled with the Ooey Pooey tonight, and Michigan should be a top 10 women's team.
Well, yeah, I think it's a good lesson just to all of us to tamper expectations. I've been saying it, but in my heart and mind, I don't think I tampered those expectations. And, you know, you get up 20 with what, 15 minutes left in the second half? Weren't we up 20 at one point? And you're like, okay, this is good. They're just going to play around. It'll end up 30, 34. And next thing you know, it's down to 2. And it just smacked everything from – you know, all the previous years, again, sitting back in my recliner, all ticked off, grumpy face. Jay Talk calls me grumpy face, resting grumpy face. I was hoping for a little different, but.
When my wife told me last night, I said, I'm kind of excited for this year. And she goes, you get excited for every season. I'm like, well, that's true. I do tend to get overhyped. Jared, absolutely. Interesting that you weren't born in DeKalb.
I was not. That was my mom's decision. So Sycamore it was. All right. Well, fortunately, my computer seems to have made it through, but now my video is getting all messed up. So I'm getting a new computer tomorrow.
Who is the computer genius who can help me configure my computer to accept a hardwire Ethernet line? My son's computer accepted it right away.
Usually you should just plug it in. You should. Just
I know,
have to
but
plug
it didn't.
In.
Yeah, I don't know because I've got a Mac, so I don't know.
I got a MacBook Air, and I plugged it in, and it didn't. I thought maybe I got a bad cord or something.
Did you try a different cord?
Well, I only got one that'll reach. I bought a new cord, a 100-foot cord.
All right, well, if anybody has help, I mean, did you go into your network settings in system preferences?
Yeah,
there's a network option, and then it...
Yeah, and it's supposed to... I Googled it all, kind of watching the game and Googling it at the same time, and there's supposed to pop up an Ethernet option, and then you hit it, and then you got to go configure it, but that never popped up.
Sally is showing the confidence she has in you. Did you plug in both ends?
Man, Sally, you are so cool. You are really cool. Oh, my goodness. Yes, I did, Sally, but thank you for asking. I checked it like five times. Sally with the line of the night.
Yeah.
That is funny stuff.
All right. Well, if you can help Coach with his technical know-how, if you can help him figure out how to get his computer.
How do I get a hold of Indiana? Indiana Hoops.
I don't know. Send him your email address. Was it Sony 40? Right. Well, you get.
Yeah,
it
here's my. Here. I'm gonna put it in here. You guys spam me. I'm gonna be mad.
Hold on.
He says he's in Lafayette.
Look at that.
Oh, beer and wiring. I like this idea.
It's Glenn. 42. It's Glenn in the community. Glenn. Did you put your email? Oh, there's your email address. Okay.
There's my email.
So there, Glenn in the community has got your back, Coach.
Yeah, what I'm trying to do is I get choppy Wi-Fi, and so I got a 100-foot Ethernet cord and an adapter to the MacBook Air because it doesn't have an Ethernet port, and I was just expecting to plug it in and go.
So maybe there's an issue with your adapter then.
But the adapter worked for a PC laptop. I checked. That's what I checked my son's computer. So,
all right. Well, hopefully
that's part of my grumpy face too. I was really ticked because I just
my space is away from my box, so I don't have really any way to plug right in.
All right. Well, hopefully Glenn can help. But thanks everybody for being here.
Yep.
This was the first show of our 11th season, which is awesome. Thank you guys all for being here tonight, for all your support over the years. Excited to walk into this new Mike Woodson era with you, and hopefully we have many more better shooting nights in our future.
It'll get
than
better.
What we saw tonight. I think we will. All right, y'all.
Good night.
Have a good night. Talk to y'all on Thursday. See you guys inside the community.